The best way for me to warm up is to tell you a story. And inevitably, when I'm getting ready for a talk, I'll go to Starbucks to sit and meditate. And this is a talk about parenting with confidence. I used to call it parenting with authority. You'll notice in your handout that's what it says. But that word authority really kicks up a lot of negative associations for folks in this day of parenting, which we'll talk about again soon. But I changed it to parenting with confidence because having authority is really about confidence. So I'm sitting in the Starbucks and I'm trying to concentrate on my talk. And of course, always it's inevitable that some illustration or scenario of parenting, what I call disempowered parenting, plays out right there in the Starbucks. So it's great, and I'm going to share it with you. So I'm sitting there trying to think. And this mom is over there I'm in the bookstore end on the Pike, and she's over there trying to buy coffee, and she has a little boy with her who's maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I could feel the tension, you know, a quarter mile away on the other side of the room. And everybody in the store can hear her because she's highly reactive and in a very tense place that we can all identify with because we've all been there. And she's loudly telling him no, he cannot have whatever it was he was begging for. And she's saying it in a pretty intense fashion, and she started throwing out some adjectives about how he wasn't behaving, and she couldn't believe it, and you know, she had promised him this, but that wasn't going to happen, and he wasn't going to get this or that later in the day. And I was bracing myself because I knew what was going to happen next, and sure enough, the child fell onto the ground and arched his back. Goes with the scenario. He read the script, so he did it, and he cooperated, and he fell back, and he escalated, and I watched this, what I call drama of escalation. Who was going to, you know, he went up, and then she went up, and then he went up, and at the end, she had no place to go, because of course, when they go up and we go up, you got to top it somehow. So I'm holding my breath, and I thought, she's going to walk out. And sure enough, she plays the card of, I'm leaving, because she couldn't get him to cooperate, so she walked out of the store. I've had it with you, you heard what I said, and she walks out. Well, we all know what happens next. The kid, of course it worked, playing that top card, and he scrambled up and ran screaming out the store while the whole store was watching. It's hard enough to go through that at home. It's even worse to go through it in a public place. I always say that most of us watch our manners in our relationships in public, when with our neighbors or people are watching us. If only we would watch our manners in our relationship at home, because we take each other for granted and we usually don't cross that boundary or cross that line in a public place. But everybody's hearts were with that woman, and my thought was, God, she needs some refueling. She needs something. I wonder why her tank is empty. Because it's when our tanks are empty and we're really either feeling guilty or full of doubt or we're fatigued that we snap and we really don't have the resources to think and be mindful. My goal tonight is to remind you how to be a mindful parent. I think of parenting as a really challenging job because we always have to be mindful. No one can be mindful 100% of the time, but you know, when you learn to drive, you can kind of chew gum, talk, listen to the radio, and drive at the same time. When we parent, we really can't take it for granted. If we do, we're going to be much more vulnerable to what I call knee-jerk parenting, reactive parenting. We're going to get hooked, which you'll be much clearer about when you leave here tonight. And there's a certain mindfulness it takes to be a good pilot or a good manager or a good teacher. So if you have a job where you have to sort of prepare yourself and you have to reflect and you have to think and you always have to be checking your system, that's really what we need to do to be good parents. But the parents who end up in my office haven't been doing that. And they're exhausted from bribing and threatening and screaming. And I like to warn you so that no one gets depressed while you listen to this talk, because you're already looking a little grim. So I added this little piece when I was meditating in Starbucks, and that is, don't despair. And the reason you shouldn't despair as I go on tonight is that we're all in this together. We got through it. Our parents got through it. Every generation gets better and better. And you know, our children need to deal with imperfection in the world, and they need to deal with the rough times. And so, in a way, you could think of it as training them for those horrible bosses they're going to have sometimes, the bad coaches that scold them. I mean, you know, a colleague of mine keeps telling me, Kay, quit being such a perfect parent, because A, your kids are never going to leave home, and B, they're not going to be able to handle all those mean people out in the world. So if that helps you with some perspective, I feel like there is something to that. We're all going to lose it. We're all going to get angry. We're not going to be perfect. My goal is to help you be saner, to be clearer and calmer. And if you can have a lot fewer incidents of reactive parenting or getting hooked, you will feel better. It's not that your kids won't go to college or they won't be adjusted if you want to scream and threaten and bribe. And I will tell you the difference tonight and what it means to bribe or threat versus stating consequences, how to do it effectively. I want to say I like the concept that we're pioneers, that we're pioneers as parents. And the reason we're pioneers is parenting is an ever-evolving profession. It changes all the time based on our culture, our economics, what goes on around us. So I want you to think a minute. I did a little brainstorming. What's going on right now for us as parents in our generation? I'm thinking it's the age of technology. We've got Nintendos and computers instead of kick the can or, you know, capture the flag. They're not running around outside. My mother's favorite parenting technique was go outside. If she was fed up or her nerves were at end, she said go outside and play. All those hours we were outside playing, she didn't have to have any exchanges with us or relate to us. Some of us have to be with our kids a lot more hours, and we have these expectations that, you know, this guilt, we got to be home, and then we're really, if we counted up the hours, we're with our children a lot more than our parents' generation was. We live in a time so where they're getting less oxygen outside, where there's supposed to be no spanking. We sort of believe in democracy and our children should have a voice. Well, now think about that. In the age when they parented, where there was a true hierarchy and you were the authority and that was never questioned, we didn't question the president, look up his dirty laundry. We didn't argue with cops. We didn't go in and tell the teachers how to teach our children. There was just this respect for authority. There were boundaries we didn't cross. Well, now everybody's entitled. Everybody has an opinion, including our children. So if you kind of look at the culture and society and how that meshes with what we're doing with our children, it really makes sense. But boy, is it tougher to parent when you believe your children should always have a voice, and it's a democracy. And I know no one here could be sane if they believed there should always be a voice. Our children think that. I always say we're raising little lawyers today that come in my office. There's a loss of extended family, for better or worse, and we don't have the comfort or security of having or even respecting the wisdom of our elders anymore. So we go to look for books. And everybody's searching for a right answer. People coming to my talks are kind of primed. They want an answer. They're coming to me for a fix. They come in my office for a fix. And, you know, I'm not here to give you an absolute right answer. I will give you some gems tonight and some tools for thinking and feeling more effective as parents. But I'm really, the first half of my talk is largely about the process of parenting. And any profession you think about, if you really do a good job with the foundation, the process, the thinking, the tools and the details come easier later. If you're a good manager, you do all that thinking, everything kind of falls into place.